Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
And one of the things that I have said for years is that many of us are trapped by what we call invisible shackles. And I've long said, and I believe that one of the invisible shackles is debt. Debt prevents you from being free. Debt prevents you from making proper life choices. Debt leads to stress. Debt can ruin marriages. Debt can drive you crazy. And when you look at the numbers in terms of the wealth gap between whites and blacks, the average white family has $100,000, African-American $5,000. It has gotten wider in the last 25 years. And when you think about folks who came out of slavery, black folks were able to get some land, own. I'm reading a book right now on Ella Baker. Her parents talked about owning your own land, being able to feed yourself. How do we achieve economic freedom? Folks say, well, look, man, I don't make six figures. I don't have a big time job. I can't do those things. You know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. This government shutdown exposed the number of people. It made real the number of workers who, if they did not get a check in 2 weeks, many of them had to go to food pantries and borrowing money. And so do you want to be economically free? Do you want economic freedom? Would you like a life where, oh my God, I'm not worrying and stressed when my phone rings and it's a bill collector and what am I going to do and what am I going to say? How do we begin not to live above our means and be happy and content where we are? That's what we're dealing with. It's 11 o'clock hour, and I'm turning to somebody who is very adept at teaching us these things. Michelle Singletary, columnist for The Washington Post. You've heard her on NPR for a while. She had a show on TV One dealing with people in this issue. And I'm always joking with Michelle. Always. I say Michelle Singletary is the cheapest, most frugal person I've ever seen. And Michelle said, no, my grandmama was a lot more frugal than me. And she joins us on News One Now. Michelle, how you doing?
I'm doing so fine. You preaching, brother. I'm like, I might become a convert, and I'm already a convert.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it was so funny because last night we were talking about this, and the sister said, you know, she was a Howard University student. She goes, well, you know, we all enslaved, and people, we dealing with the legacy of slavery and blah, 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 blah. And she said, yeah. I said, look, you got free black folks. She said, well, you know, who you know free? I said, hell, I'm a free black man.
Right.
And then somebody got mad when I brought up the issue of debt. I said, no, I said, you looking at, well, why you got to bring up material possessions? I said, because the reason I said my house is paid, my cars are paid, I don't have credit card debt. If I can't afford it, I don't buy it. I said, that is a level of freedom because you're not beholden to a paycheck, beholden to a job. Where you feel like you are forced to stay there because, man, if I leave, I can't pay for this stuff. And so I think many people get trapped, Michelle, when they want to buy certain things and certain houses and cars and can't necessarily afford it. And so now all of a sudden they can't make proper moves in their lives because, man, I can't mess up. I got to keep paying this thing.
Right, that's exactly right. I think the shutdown should be a wake-up call for lots of people, and I wrote about that in my column yesterday in the Washington Post. You know, I don't want to be insensitive because I recognize that there's some people that life happens. Life happens. You get sick or your parents got sick or you were taking care of some stuff, and so you've got a drain on your finances, so the shutdown shut you down financially. But there are a lot of people out there, many of them listening, and you know who you are, who you can do better, but we have been been misinformed about the use of debt. We've been told that there's such a thing as good debt and bad debt. There is no such thing. There is just debt. Debt makes you a slave. And you don't have to be religious, but I'm telling you, you need to check out Proverbs, because it says in Proverbs that the borrower is slave to the lender. Think about that, because when you owe somebody, you are their slave. And we learned about that in the Great Recession. People was like, you know, I'm a homeowner. Really? Because you're not a homeowner until you actually own that home, and that means you don't have a mortgage.
Now, second, I will say this, Michelle.
Or third.
Let's deal with it. You talk about the issue of good debt, bad debt. I have said, I've been talking about this here, when I graduated from college, that I considered that debt to be good debt. But let me explain why I felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because my college degree put me in a position to go after certain jobs that made X amount of money.
Right.
But when I look at people, so I think when I graduated, I may have had in excess of about $30,000+ in debt. Now, granted, that was December 1991. I had loans and grants. I had family. I had a scholarship. So I wasn't burdened with $75,000, $100,000, stuff like that. I went to a state school. My brother went there. My sister went there. Made it easier for my parents. And so the reason I call that what I consider that good debt, because people will go out and buy a $40,000 car. And when they drive it off the lot, I mean, it's depreciating. Whereas the payments that I was making on my student loans, that accruing that put me in the position. So the first 10 years of my career, I believe, I think I calculated it once, I made in 10 years of $400,000.
Yeah, now see, I understand that. But what I challenge you and other people when we use that language is that because you've set yourself up that you're going to get rid of that debt as soon as you can. But right. A lot of people listening don't have that resolve. A lot of people don't have what I have, which was a great big mama who taught me about my money. So I try to be absolute in my language and say that there's no good or dead debt, because when I say that, then people will think twice about getting student loan debt, even if they think it is a necessity. I recognize that people aren't going to fully listen and tell to me when I say don't get any college debt. I recognize that some people feel, you know what, I really do need to get this to get ahead. But if I say that there's no such thing as good debt, then when they get that debt, when they decide to get a student loan, instead of getting a student loan to, say, live on campus, so you're getting a loan to pay for your tuition and live on campus. No. Get just a student loan to go to school and not live on campus and live at home. And make different choices so that the debt that you do take on isn't as much as you would if I said, you know, it's okay to do all of this. Do you see what I'm saying? I need to change the conversation and the language so that when you sign that document, you are burdened from the moment you put your signature on there, and so you will take on less. Because what we say matters.
The
language we use matters.
When you talk about student debt, a part of that discussion with student debt should be, first of all, what am I majoring in?
Right.
What are the job prospects?
Am I
trying to go to a private school versus a public school?
Right.
Am I trying to go out of the city, out of state versus in state?
Correct.
Can I go to a school where I live? Do I need to go away? And so there's so many factors that go into that, because you're right. All of that plays a role into, because if you decide to go to school away from home, well, how are you going to get back home?
That's
who's paying for the plane
right.
ticket,
That's exactly right.
the gas,
right.
the bus, or whatever? And so so a lot of people just have this vision in their mind. Well, no, I have a right to go to that school. I always say, no, baby, you got a right to go where your money can take you.
That's exactly so, right. And so when you say student loan is good debt, people don't parcel it that way. So that's why it's important for me to make sure that they do parcel it that way, so that you shouldn't be paying for someone to live in a room when you can live with your parents or you can commute. And we have given people a blank check for certain things. We said,
yep.
You know what, spend whatever it takes to go to whatever school you want. Spend whatever it takes to get the house that you want, because it'll go up in value. Well, we learned in the recession that
right.
that wasn't necessarily true.
Michelle, hold tight.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.